So hello, this is Dick Griffith. We're doing Let's Talk, and we're going through a series on spiritual gifts. And the first one to consider today is the gift of prophecy. For those of you that missed last week's session, spiritual gifts are those things that motivate you, that the perspective that you take to understand the world around you and what God is doing in your life. They're given to believers, those lists are found in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and there's a short list in Ephesians 4. I'll repeat that each time we go along here because this is going to end up being a fairly long series, and some of you may be coming and going, but that's okay. So this one has to do with prophecy. The word prophecy means to speak forth, to speak out, to declare. And prophets tend to declare and speak directly with authority. After the first century, after the apostles had left this earth, we believe at this church that there's no more predictive prophecy. The scriptures at that point were complete. They were written and taken care of all through that first century of the church. The prophet tends to identify right and wrong and sees his role or her role as proclaiming what's right and wrong. Prophets tend to look at a situation and say, something wrong here. Or they look at a situation and say, this is right on. Sometimes they make those decisions a little more quickly than they should. The prophet is not usually subtle. A prophet can be overly direct, and that can get him in trouble sometimes. Sometimes the prophet has learned from another spiritual gift called mercy and realizes that he can speak the truth with a heart of compassion. Because each of these gifts as we go along can benefit from learning, maybe they're gaining the skills associated with others of the gifts. And we'll mention those things as we go along. So the prophet tends to think in terms of, I'm not just speaking truth, but I'm also defending it. They tend to be a bit confrontational. That doesn't mean they're argumentative, they're not about to fight, but they have a very strong view and they're happy to stand forth and defend it no matter who hears. Typical of the prophet. This is the skill of public proclamation, often from the pulpit, small group leader, or defending truth in the public arena. There may be things in our culture that you're strongly against or strongly for, and you feel called to speak out and to get involved. That's typical of the prophet. So if you look at Romans 12, verse 6, you find the scripture says this, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, all the gifts are different, according to what he has given us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in teaching, the one who exhorts in exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, and the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Now, that first part of that says, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, not in proportion to your faith. Your faith is critical for any of the gifts because you walk by faith. You try to exercise your gift by faith. But the writer of this, which is Paul, who wrote to the Romans, is talking about our faith, the faith of the believers that surround you. So you're not alone when you're exercising your spiritual gift. The faith involves not just you, but those around you in the body of Christ. In other words, in accordance with the true doctrine we, the apostles, taught, here is a great responsibility. This gift bears with it great responsibility. You don't want to be telling people things that are untrue or exaggerating in some area that the Holy Spirit is not leading. This gift is equal to all others. It's not better than any other gift. All of us are equal in the body of Christ. Don't let pride seek to elevate yourself, which is one of the problems that prophets have. They tend to get into a self-righteous pride mode and try to say, I'm right, you're wrong, and everybody shut up. And that doesn't accomplish anything in the body of Christ. If you do that, if you look at pride first and not the Holy Spirit first, not Christ first, you become ineffective for him rather than effective. You're not accomplishing what you think you are, because it's all about his glory and not yours. So there's some positive characteristics of the prophet. They feel compelled to state right and wrong. They're willing to suffer criticism for speaking the truth. In fact, some of them get a little out of balance and look for situations where they're criticized to speak the truth. They can understand and discern the motives of others. They have a way to gain insight into what others are doing and saying. So if we look at Acts chapter 2, let's take a look at a passage that talks about the Apostle Peter, because he's the example of the prophet. So Acts 2, starting with verse 14. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words." Remember, as those of you have seen this before, this is one of his very first sermons at the temple after Christ's resurrection and ascension. "For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day, but this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel," which they should have all known, those Jewish folks. Comes out of Joel chapter 2. "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." And then skip to 21. "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That is about as to the point as you can get as a prophet. Down to 23. "This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men." Can you imagine what it would have been like to speak to that crowd of thousands of people and say, "Oh, by the way, do you realize you killed your Messiah?" And they knew something was wrong. They knew there'd been a resurrection. They knew they'd heard all those rumors. And now they've got somebody standing in front saying, "You killed your Messiah, the one you've waited for hundreds of years." And if we skip over to 36, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." That's about as direct as you can get. There's a true prophet. There are some negative sides to the prophecy gift. And one of them is the prophets can be overly blunt. Now, if you need to be told you crucified the Messiah, that you need to be blunt. But unfortunately, prophets tend to be blunt too often. Sometimes they jump to conclusions before hearing all the information. This is the kind of a person who hears the first part of a sentence and starts answering it before he's heard the rest of it. They often lack tact and sympathy with people. They're judgmental. They forget that Christ is perfectly loving and perfectly just, and they get heavy on the just side and slack on the loving side. Does that sound familiar to you? Maybe you need a little bit of the gift of mercy if you're a prophet. So let's pray as we go. So, Father, I thank you for the truth that's in your word, the wisdom that's there, the insight that's there. Help us, Father, to be balanced about how we utilize the spiritual gift you've given us, with the focus on building the body of Christ and not building our own reputation. But be courageous when called to speak a word of truth in the church or in the community in such a way that your Son is glorified. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.